guys. Hope you're doing well. Cloud with you here. I've got my buddy Ryan Stott here in the studio. What's up, Ryan?
Yeah, what's up, dude? I'm good, man. How are you doing?
We were sitting here talking for 20 minutes before the microphone started rolling, and we're chit-chatting about like World War II, politics, foreign politics, like just
we could talk
random
for hours
salvation
about
story,
stuff,
baptism,
man. Yeah,
theology.
Man.
Like,
golly.
Let's just get into the podcast.
That's right.
Okay?
Let's get there.
Guys, you're joining us, and we're in the Raised to Life series that we do after Easter, the 2 weeks after Easter. And that's just simple testimony stories. When did we get saved? And then a little bit about baptism. And so Ryan and I were talking about his story, and I wanted to hear it from you. So I'll just turn it over to you.
I love it, dude. I love that we're doing this. So, yeah, my story starts, man. I always have to start with my mom. Honestly, I can't ever say my testimony without talking about it. And, you know, I grew up in the church. I was in the church when I was a baby. We went to this one church. We started going there when I was two. I mean, it was always there. I think I was around 7 or 8, and all my friends were going to get baptized. I mean, it was like a line of them. It was like 10 of my friends in my grade group that were going to get baptized. And I thought, at some point, I need to get baptized. I have to, right? Like, that's what we do as Baptists. Like, we get baptized.
Oh,
like,
I got to do that. Raise my hand.
We got to go do it. So I might as well do it with my friends so I'm not the only one up there. That's what was going through my mind. So I told him, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get baptized. You know, obviously, my parents were excited about it. And then the Sunday, you know, we had children's church and Sunday school and stuff. So before they called us up to go up there to get baptized, we were in the middle of, I think, our children's church, and my mom came down and she pulled me out and she goes, "Now, Ryan, I want to sit down and talk with you about this."
Man, that's awesome.
And she explained to me why I would be getting baptized. She said, "Have you accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord?" And I was like, "Well, no. What are you talking about?" Like, I didn't even understand the concept at that moment. And so I wasn't baptized. They pulled me off that.
Man,
I wasn't baptized.
That's awesome.
And I always, I've told my mom this too. I was like, man, I've heard so many times about people being baptized when they're younger and then having to get rebaptized later because I felt like they didn't understand it. And I thank my mom so much for that because she didn't have to do that. It was great, this great story that my kids being baptized today, like it was this good thing, but she didn't. She had the courage and the ability to come tell me about it. So I always start there, man.
That's a really powerful story.
Yeah, always start there. So like I said, we were always in church, but I had gone to one kids camp. This is the only kids camp I ever went to when I turned 12. We went to kids camp, and I don't know what the preacher said that night.
Was this before or after the baptismal story?
This was after. So I was like seven or eight.
You basically weren't saved.
You're not getting baptized because I don't want you to be confused.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Why did you get baptized?
Good.
Right? Like, we don't want to reflect on, like, well, why was baptized there, but now I'm saved. You know,
so many people, like, I didn't have, but so many people have the opposite of that where it's confused.
Right. And that's why I just thank my mom. I really do. I thank my mom so much every time I talk about my testimony. That's there. Like, it has to be there. So
you're at this camp.
So I'm at this camp. I'm 12 now, and I'm at this camp. It's a good camp. You know, whatever. It's a bunch of kids. And I don't know what the preacher preached that day. I don't know what I ate for dinner that day. I have no idea. I'm sure he had an invitation, but I didn't go up to it. At night, so we had these bunk beds. We were in probably about 100 people in this one house building. I don't know what you call it. It's just an open barracks type building with bunk beds. And middle of the night, I think it was around like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I woke up. I was like, why am I awake? Wide awake. And I felt what only now as a 40-year-old man can equate is that the Spirit was moving on me. And man, you ever hear about people saying you got to open the door? And let Christ in.
Yeah.
I cracked the lock and cracked the door, and then I felt him kick it in.
Dude,
like,
that's awesome.
I felt the Spirit more than I have ever felt, man, and I couldn't quit crying. Like I'm about to right now.
That's
sorry, I get emotional about this.
No, it's good. You know what? I'm gonna let you get
yourself.
I have the same you know, when people try to describe that moment when they knew the Holy, I'm using air quotes, but the Holy Spirit was tugging on me, and you say the Holy Spirit opened the door.
Yeah.
Literally, when I tell my story, like, if you see me in person, I don't know what to do to describe this other than I literally, like, grab my shirt and, like, tug on it. And, like, that's what it was. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, the tugging.
Yeah.
So, anyway, sorry to interrupt
you. No, you're good. And I just in that moment, like, I knew because at that second I said, you know, Jesus, I want you. Like it, like I said, it wasn't any emotion I was riding from the service. I don't even remember it. I don't remember who spoke. I don't remember if there was music. I'm sure there was. It wasn't like we didn't have worship bands like we do now.
Yeah.
It was probably just some hymns we sang. I don't remember it. None of that honestly mattered. I felt the Spirit come on to me, and I could not quit crying. I started to cry really loud, like it was bad. So one of the camp counselors, who was actually the preacher that preached that night, he got up and he's like, "Ryan, what's going on?" And I just yelled out really loud. I remember this. I want to accept Jesus into my heart. Like just crying.
Dude, that's awesome.
He gave me a hug. We prayed right there. You know, it was this big, you know, big moment, man. And just from that moment on, I was like, God, it was just, different. And I always have to talk about my mom's story with the baptism and pulling me out because I never really understood. I never really understood, what do you mean Jesus died for me? Why would he do that? That doesn't make sense. Why would some guy from 2,000 years ago, why would the creator of the universe, why would he do this for me? And until that moment, I never understood it. And so I went back to my church, and you know, they had me fill out a card like us Baptists like to do. We like to fill out cards.
We got
to
get the logistics rolling. We got to get the logistics
right, right? You know, so like, they fill out a card and it goes back to your pastor at your local church.
What will it take today to put you into a brand new baptism?
That's exactly right. Oh, that's exactly right. So it went back, the card went back, and it was really just to let your pastor know from your church that, hey, you made this decision to follow up with you, you know, disciple you and stuff like that. Well, my family was very involved in the church. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell nobody.
Oh, wow.
So my one friend, and the proverb verse of iron sharpens iron always comes up with this one friend, and God used him in a big way. And he was one of the kids that got baptized in that group before.
Oh, okay.
So, but he actually accepted Christ at that moment. He knew what he was getting baptized for. And so we were talking and I was like, man, I need to tell, you know, my pastor about this. And it was probably 4 weeks. And then the pastor preached on the Proverbs verse. And I can't remember the scripture, the iron sharpens iron. And when he did an invitation at the end of the thing, my friend shoved me into the aisle. And in this small Baptist church up in Ohio, you're noticed. If you step foot in the aisle, everybody's looking at you.
That's funny.
I didn't have any choice at that point, and I went forward. And, you know, man, he was in tears because he already knew. Like every week that went by, the 4 weeks that it was afterwards he was like, he knew, and he would eyeball me. I could see him because, like I said, it's a smaller church. It's not like New Vision where it's, you know, up there. He saw me, and he would eyeball me during the invitation. If your next step is baptism, here's your open invitation. And he would just eyeball me because he knew. But I needed to take that step.
Yeah.
He couldn't just grab me and say, okay, Ryan, today we're going to baptize you, because I needed to have that proclamation of faith. What's the verse talking about? You know, if you're ashamed in front of a sinful nation, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father. Like that stuck with me, dude. That in those 4 weeks, that tormented me because I'm like, how I can't go stand up there. I don't even have to say anything. I just got to go stand up there. The pastor's going to say something, and then they're going to dunk me under some water. Like that's nerfy, man. Compared to what Jesus went through, that's nerfy, right? Yep. Like we live this, so. You know, I went up there, I did it, and man, after, you know, I was able to get baptized, and my dad was there, and my family, it was just this amazing moment, and, you know, it was, I'll never forget it, and man, that's when I was raised to life, man.
Man, thank you for sharing that. What I really appreciate the most about your story is that you make a distinction, because there's a lot of people that confuse the salvation part of our walk with God. Like when we get saved, God saves us. And they confuse that with the symbol that is this being dunked into water.
Right.
And the more confused that mm-hmm. is, right, they're related, that baptism is the first step of obedience that we're called to make, right? But that doesn't save us. And so the more that gets confused and baptism is misplaced or whatever.
That's a great word for it.
The more that later in life, as those people tend to struggle with assurance of salvation, yes. whether they're saved or not, and they're worried about it, yes. the more baptism can tend to be used as a rededication apparatus.
Right. Yeah.
Which it shouldn't be, because baptism is a symbol
right.
of what has already transpired. And right. so I think it's so cool that your mom had the courage to take the time to say, you know what, let's just not, it would have been easier to just, hey, yay, baptism, another baptism, yay, go church. Like, you know what I mean? That it right. would have been and easier.
It would have been
that.
Easier for her to do that. Right.
Instead, she was shepherding your soul.
She was discipling me, man.
Discipling. Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's so apparent, because, you know, when you talk about the separation there of the baptism and the coming to Christ, I think it's so key, because I have talked to so many people now. The more I'm ministering to people, the more I'm talking to people about the confusion that has been brought up. And I know it's easy for churches to get caught up with, man, we baptized 100 people this yeah. month. But do they really know Christ? And that's one thing I really love about New Vision, the discipleship after the fact, before the fact. Like, yeah, we really sure. make sure. Yeah. Like, it's not like, you want to get baptized? Let's go. Yeah. It's just like, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. They have a what I would call my mom moment, where they intervene and say, hey, do you really know Jesus?
Yeah.
And
the water,
there's
nothing in the water. The water doesn't save you.
That's right. Yeah. It's just water.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people get confused, is there is a separation between salvation and baptism. Baptism is not, it is a proclamation of your faith. It is a, hey, I'm following Jesus. I'm telling you, group of people, about this. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. This is what I'm doing. And I always tell people, because I had a lady that was really struggling with this. She had been saved when she was younger, but she never got baptized. And she was like, you know, am I doing wrong? I'm like, look, you need to follow through with baptism, because it's your proclamation of faith. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what he's called us to do. But remember the person on the cross. If someone has not been baptized, but they have accepted Christ, that's not your salvation. That's not. But we got to be careful, because, you know, if you're falling back, like, hey, I don't want to be baptized. I don't want to go in front. There's a problem there too.
Yeah.
But I always remember the guy on the cross, man. He wasn't baptized, and Jesus said, "You'll be with me in heaven." So it's one of those
balance.
It's yeah. a balance. I think that's the best word for it.
Proper
man.
Theology of.
Yeah, and I think that there is a separation there. There is a moment outside of baptism that happens before that's where your assurance of salvation is, not baptism.
Absolutely. So. And so that's when we say we're raised to life. In other words,
raised to life, yeah.
The baptism just shows that I am raised to life. That's yeah. why we say it in that act. We yeah. don't people know, raised to life, raised to walk in newness of life, but that has already happened because we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And so, Ryan, I thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
And you know what? Let's just, we'll stop recording. Y'all have a great day. And then he and I are just going to continue talking about World War II and other
all
nerd
day,
stuff.
Man. All day.
Yeah. Y'all have a great one. We'll see you then.